The following podcast could be brought to you by anyone, but it's brought to you by our absolute favorite airport in Southern California.
That's right. It's the only airport that throws parties on the wing, the San Bernardino International Airport.
They're now celebrating over 2 years of commercial flights to areas in California and beyond.
That's right. It's an easy check-in process. We experienced it. It was flawless. And of course, the added bonus is that it's just $5 a day for parking.
So thank you, San Bernardino International Airport, for sponsoring this upcoming episode of Klein Alley Show.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
The following podcast could be brought to you by anyone, but it's brought to you by our absolute favorite airport in Southern California.
That's right. It's the only airport that throws parties on the wing, the San Bernardino International Airport.
They're now celebrating over 2 years of commercial flights to areas in California and beyond.
That's right. It's an easy check-in process. We experienced it. It was flawless. And of course, the added bonus is that it's just $5 a day for parking.
So thank you, San Bernardino International Airport, for sponsoring this upcoming episode of Klein Alley Show.
This is the world-famous
K-Rock. Game 5 tonight, World Series action. Allie, will you promise to not watch even a pitch? People
No.
are demanding on the text line that you either blindfold yourself and sit in a dark closet, or we...
You're banishing me to a closet? That's not fair.
Yeah, get back in there.
That's homophobic.
Well, get whatever it is. I mean, you watching the game clearly... is nothing but disastrous, and you've proven this over and over and over again, and you've mushed your own teams for years, but now you're taking your mush power and you're mushing the Los Angeles Dodgers, and people just won't stand for it.
I'm not going to promise that I'm not going to watch it.
Please,
what are you willing to offer me?
Please tell El Cheapo I will give her $500 and get her one of those sleep hotel rooms that doesn't even have a TV in the room so that she can go ahead and lock herself down for the duration of the series.
Interesting. I think I can do better.
All right. Well, if you really care,
I have to finally put this power to good use.
Yeah, that's not good use. You're going to make a lot of people angry. As Blind Charlie said on the goat line, you are a mushy, mushy bitch. And I don't stand by that, but that's what
it'll
be on my
team. Just watch tonight, and then don't watch when they're playing at home. I like to see them win at home.
See, like I said, people like to see them back in L.A. They want another good night of traffic here in L.A. We need another one of those crazy traffic nights here. And if we're going to start burning couches and blowing stuff up, we want that to be...
The Dodgers to be here for it.
Yeah, we want them to hear that. Right. If we're not sleeping because of fireworks all night, we don't want Freddie Freeman to sleep all night either.
Right.
Okay? This hour on the show, Petty claims court is back. A relationship hangs in the balance. Something that someone is doing is setting off the other person, and they've turned to the only place that will actually hear out their case and let you become a jury of their peers, and that is Petty Claims Court. So we will get into that. And the second this one is done from the Killers, we will tell you what it is you can do if you'd like to join us tomorrow in studio. Win yourself tickets to go to Vegas for When We Were Young, just announced. Panic, Blink, Weezer, Avril, Offspring, and more. Those details next on K-Rock. K-Rock, Klein Alley Show. Perhaps you've got big plans for Halloween tomorrow night, I would imagine. But what are you doing tomorrow morning? That is the question we have for you. And do you have what it takes to win our 10-second freak show? Coming into the K-Rock studios tomorrow morning, it could be you. Up for grabs, we got quite a few tickets to give you. When We Were Young in Vegas, you'll get those tickets, I believe, before they even officially go on sale. Panic, Blink, Weezer, Avril, Offspring, The Used, and the list goes on and on. But then also, we will give you plans for tomorrow night. Better plans, because you'll be seeing LCD Sound System on Halloween at the Shrine.
Which is a pretty badass Halloween. Especially
amazing.
A last minute, if you have plans and you're like, hey, my plans are all right or whatever, and then all of a sudden you can ditch all those to go see LCD Sound System at the Shrine.
All we're asking for from you is, in 10 seconds, how could you win our very own freak show here at K-Rock? Is it something you do, a skill? Is it something about you, a medical anomaly perhaps? Are you one of these people that has like a horn growing out of your head?
Oh, yeah.
There's so many different ways you could win our 10-second freak show.
Yes, from the people that brought you the 10-second talent show, it is the 10-second freak show, and it could just be something that you were born with. It could be a skill that you developed. It could be a party trick, like maybe you can make your eye pop out of its socket. Any of that stuff qualifies.
How can you freak us out in 10 seconds or less? Join us in studio tomorrow with your freakish talent. Win tickets to When We Were Young in Vegas and LCD tomorrow night. We don't have a lot of time to put this together, so think about it, and you can slide in the DMs. We got a post up on Instagram at Klein Alley Show. Slide in the DMs.
And you got to be able to join us tomorrow morning.
Have to be able to be here in the flesh. And once again, we are keeping this vague because we would like a variety of different freakish behaviors. So if it's something freaky you do, something freaky that you have, something freaky.
Sound that you can make.
Whatever it is, it's a 10-second freak show. And if you win it, there's a lot up for grabs.
Could be an impression. Could be a song.
Happening on Halloween right here live on K-Rock tomorrow morning. So we did not give you a lot of notice on purpose because you know you real freaks, you're ready. When you're a freak, you're ready to perform.
Oh, yeah. Freaks are ready on demand. So true freaks.
Let us know.
We know.
You can call us if you want to get in. We're only going to bring in a few people, small handful of people to compete in studio. And once again, up for grabs. Someone will leave here with tickets to When We Were Young and LCD Sound System tomorrow night. In the meantime, you can text us, 800-520-1067, if you think that you are freak worthy, or slide in the DMs, Klein Alley Show. Back after this quick break. Petty Claims Court is next. You know that feeling you get when you receive your summons for jury duty? Not a good feeling. It's kind of what's happening right now, although this is way better because you're going to meet a couple in a moment on the phone. They're battling about something super petty in their relationship. You will help determine who's right and who's wrong. And yeah, you may have your own struggles, problems going on in your own relationship, but it's way more fun to pick apart other people's.
Of course.
And yeah. Allie just got a summons for jury duty. What was it, yesterday?
Yes.
You're like
supposed to call for December 2nd. That's my jury duty day.
You're like their favorite. I feel like they hit you like clockwork.
I know. I don't know what it is about me. And I've already served on a jury before in the past. So I'm like, I did my thing. I feel like everyone should get one. You get one time on a jury and you never have to do it again. And the last time I got it, I did this whole pregnancy excuse, even though I was no longer pregnant. Took a while. Eventually, I think there was a bench warrant involved, but I got it figured out. And then now, boom. A year later, another summons.
I think they know that a good amount of people just do the old whoopsies, never saw that, right in the trash. And so the people that actually do show up, they're like, yep, these are the suckers. Let's get them over
we
and over again.
We gotta keep going with them.
Let's get into it. There's a couple on the phone right now, and you will instantly become a jury of their peers. Welcome to Petty Claims Court.
In the legal system, cases are tried from Supreme Courts to Small Claims Court. But what about stuff that's too small for Small Claims Court? This is Petty Claims Court.
All right, let's say hi to Joe. Joe is bringing his girlfriend or wife to Petty Claims. Oh, wife. Joe's got a problem with his wife. Let's find out what's going on. Give them both an opportunity to make their case, and then you will determine who's right, who's wrong. Go ahead, Joe. Welcome to Petty Claims Court. How goes it?
It goes pretty well. I just want to let you guys know I've been listening to you guys for 2 years now. I love you guys. And all right, my issue is.
All right, enough.
Wife.
I've already made my decision. Joe wins the case. Joe, congratulations. Thank you. What is the issue you have with your wife?
So, whenever she does something wrong, I feel like she finds a way to blame me. And whenever I do something wrong, I feel like eventually I'll come to the realization that I messed up and will somehow apologize to her. But sometimes, you know, she doesn't apologize. And it's a little frustrating.
So, let me get this straight. If she does something wrong, it's your fault. And if you do something wrong, it's your fault as well.
Yes, sir.
Is there a specific example that you could point to before we bring her on to defend herself?
So, the most recent example was when we do our laundry, so she tends to separate by color and also by how nice the clothes are. And the nice clothes, they will not go in the dryer. They will get air dried. Every time I go to switch the laundry, because I'm usually the one that switches the load, I asked her before placing them in the dryer if they were nice clothes. She said no. After I dried them, I took them out and realized a lot of my jerseys were messed up. The numbers looked all messed up and were like kind of coming off a little bit. Mm. And I got upset and, you know, she blamed me because she said I should have checked what the clothes were. And that I couldn't tell because they were turned inside out. But usually when I grab them, I just grab them all in one big scoop and just throw them in the dryer.
Right. This case, you checked with her. She said, no, you're good. And then you did it. And then because it's a problem, it's your fault. It's on you, never on her.
Well, most of the time I do check with her. You know, there can be some.
So the laundry process in your relationship seems like it's not, doesn't all fall on you, right? She's the original washer, and then you're the guy that has to move into the dryer and make the decision, is it nice or not nice? That falls on you?
Yes, I guess we could say that.
Uh-huh.
See, that's not a fair task.
And I'm not,
so it's a difficult
task.
Because
I think the person who starts the laundry has to be the one to finish it. They're the ones who know what's going on.
I know
on.
They say that's part of a healthy relationship. Divide tasks and, you know, work on stuff together and make it even as you possibly can. And so maybe they're attempting to do this together so no one gets resentful at the other one. It's like, oh, they never do the laundry. But here it does seem like they've added an extra step. I've never even thought of the concept of taking something out of the wet pile and deciding whether or not it was air dry worthy.
Oh,
I just,
Katie does that. She
really?
Air dries a ton of stuff.
Oh,
yes.
I just toss it all right in.
I
crank
do too.
That heat as high as possible.
That's why I don't touch the laundry stuff anymore.
All right.
People are very particular. And I didn't realize that you separate colors and also niceness.
Niceness. That's interesting.
Yes.
Jennifer, let's bring you on to defend yourself. You are Joe's wife. How long have you guys been together?
10 years.
Oh, sounds like
man.
It. Yeah, I could hear that.
Hear it in your voice.
Yep.
It's like the before and after president pictures.
Yep. 10 years. And how long you been married?
3 years.
Okay. So the marriage is relatively new, but you've been together for a decade. So you know a lot about each other. You know what annoys the other person. And this laundry situation seems like it really bothers you.
Bothers me? No. I mean... I do all the laundry, and we have two kids. I do their laundry too, so I don't think that this is fair.
But he is claiming that he is also helping with the laundry by switching it over. Is that true, or are you disputing that?
No, that's literally the only thing he does. So I separate all of the laundry. I try to make sure that I'm taking out his nice jerseys, but he's really messy, so, you know, whatever looks really dirty, I just put it, like, it doesn't look nice. He has them inside out. So, you know, he may take out the laundry from the washer and put it into the dryer, but I fold everything and I put everything away.
Mm-hmm.
So he's literally just transferring the laundry over, and that's it.
All right, that's an important job.
It is. Yeah, it is.
It's not,
and it's like holding all the wet clothes.
Yeah.
You're just like, ugh.
It's a heavy pile sometimes.
Yeah.
When you say his jerseys are dirty, is that because he's out playing sports in them or because he's sitting on the couch watching football, eating in them?
No, he's just a messy person.
Uh-huh.
So, just drops them on the floor everywhere. We have dogs, and so there's always dog hair all over them.
Yeah.
He leaves them all over the floor. So your nice clothes should be either somewhere different, or they shouldn't be so dirty. So
right. I would also argue, though, that if the numbers of the jersey are falling off after one wash, are they really that nice?
Right. These aren't authentic jerseys, I would think. You got some bootleg jerseys?
No, they weren't really falling off. They're just getting a little wrinkly on the edge. And
uh-huh.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, but that could be from all the nachos and, you know, all that.
Right. Now, Jennifer, he made a point before we even got into the specifics about the washer-dryer that in general, the way things are, at least he feels, is that when you're wrong, it's his fault, and when he's wrong, it's also his fault. Would you agree with that statement?
It usually is.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right. Okay. That's pretty standard.
Everyone else said this just sounds like terrible teamwork regardless, but a 909 wanted to know if you have an example of something that you did wrong and you actually apologized for it. Because, you know, originally you're coming to, your husband is saying that you will never admit when you have done something wrong. Is there an example that you can give us of something you have actually done wrong and said, I was wrong?
Yeah, I definitely have. I'm going to say that probably 80% of the time, I'm probably right. And I mean, his own mother agrees with me for the most part. So
right.
I'm just like, if your own mom agrees with me, there's probably some validity to that.
Well, I think that like in a lot of relationships, if you never admit fault, then you can never be accused of being at fault. Even if you know it's you. Like, there's definitely
times...
Yeah,
but there's a few that you have to go, like, that was my fault. Sorry. You have to do that
so that you show them
that you're... That no, I can admit when I'm wrong.
Right.
But you have to do it about, like, dumb stuff that doesn't matter to you.
Yeah, that was the old fork in the sink thing. Ah, it's on me.
Yeah,
I'll
exactly.
take that one. You don't want to take...
the big stuff, you're right.
You don't want to take any of the big L's, for sure. So, in general, would you say you guys have a good relationship? Are you happy? You love each other? All that stuff?
I don't think it's a gay relationship.
Yeah, sorry, you trampled over her. Laugh, yeah, you've been together for a while.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, and...
I don't know if the response of, yeah, we've been together for a long time...
I think we know what that means. That means that she's very happy, I think, clearly. So, we will, in a moment, turn this over to a jury of your peers. You'll each get 10 seconds of closing arguments. Joe has brought his wife, Jennifer, to Petty Claims Court because... I'm not really sure why, because it almost feels like he's now switched to the role of the defendant here. It's weird.
Yeah, I know.
He brought her to trial.
Which means Jennifer's very intelligent.
Yeah, which means Jennifer's already manipulated the situation to make us think Joe is at fault again here, which is genius somehow. I don't know how you did that. So let me get this straight. Joe, what are you accusing Jennifer, your wife, of?
So I'm accusing her of not taking fault when when she's to blame.
Got it. Okay.
Admitting that you're wrong is very... There's always somebody who's always right in any relationship.
And sometimes it's two people that are always right, and that leads to trouble.
And you're just having write-offs.
You're just, I'm right, all right, let's just go to bed, man.
And sometimes you can do the, well, I see your point, however, here's still why I'm right.
Yes, or the, okay, I messed up, but I wouldn't have messed up had you not messed up first,
yes,
which is another way.
Yes, and then you just keep backtracking and scorekeeping.
All right. 10 seconds, closing arguments. You each get it. The jury will then start voting. There's quite a few thoughts on the text line already. The first 100 votes will determine who wins and who loses this petty claims court battle. Joe, we'll give you the final word since you brought your wife to trial. Jennifer, 10 seconds to make any points you'd like to make before the jury votes. Go ahead.
So there's a certain task around the house that she does and that I do. One of them is I do the dishes and she does the laundry. And if I was to mess up any dishes, it would be on me. But I would admit that it was my doing. Well, with her, she doesn't admit her issue with the laundry.
You mess up dishes too, Joe?
Occasionally I'll break a few or I...
What? The,
wow.
You break a few? Disposal.
Jesus, now I understand.
On the garbage disposal, there's a shot glass inside there.
Oh, it's the worst. I've done that before.
And it's flying around.
Shards of glass.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's terrifying when that happens.
All right, Jennifer, 10 seconds, closing arguments. What would you like to say before the jury votes?
Okay, well, I do the majority of the housework. We have two children that I care for. I work full time, and literally the only things that he's responsible for doing is the dishes and switching out the laundry. And if I'm putting away clothes for three people and folding his clothes and washing his clothes, I think the least he could do is check his own clothes.
Time is up. Time is up. Well used. All right, jury, text now, 800-520-1067. Let us know who wins and who loses in what is a very exhausted battle of petty claims court. And you both will accept the ruling, correct, Jennifer, Joe? Yes?
Yes.
Sure.
All right, we'll come right back after this one from Linkin Park and determine who's guilty, who is innocent. Your votes now at 800-520-1067. You vote in Joe, you vote in Jen. We'll get to it next on K-Rock.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Heated opinions and the verdict we've been waiting for.
In the legal system, cases are tried from Supreme Courts to small claims court. But what about stuff that's too small for small claims court? This is Petty Claims Court.
Just joining us, we were chatting with Joe and Jennifer. Joe brought his wife Jennifer. They've been married 3 years, but together 10, to Petty Claims Court because he said overall, she can do no wrong. He's always at fault. And then occasionally when there is a mistake made by her, he still gets blamed, and they specifically were talking about laundry and how his only job is to move the wet clothes to the dryer and make the decision, is it nice, is it not nice, to determine should an air dryer go in the dryer. And somehow in the process of that, he screwed up and put his own jerseys in there, and now his jerseys are ruined, and it's a whole convoluted mess. And we got a lot of thoughts all over the text line on this, but Susan, you've got some opinions. Go ahead before we bring the couple back on the show. Hey, Susan, what's up?
Okay. My vote is, I can't remember his name,
Joe?
The gentleman.
Yeah.
Yes, it should not be separated. I'm with you initially. That, I love the song beforehand, creates confusion.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of rules, and with rules, it's supposed to create structure, but sometimes with too many rules, it creates confusion. And Joe sounds very simple.
And Jen sounds particular about the way that she likes things.
Very particular. And I'm not saying
this probably means that, because I don't know about you, Climate. If there are certain ways that you want things done around the house, you end up just doing them yourself because you're like, well, it's easier because I know it's going to be done the way that I want it. And then if somebody else does it, they're not going to do it the way you want it, and you're going to criticize the way they're doing it.
You're right. So sometimes it's just easy. What you want, really, what everyone wants in a relationship is you want the other person to be able to read your mind exactly the way you wanted it done, and that you want them to do it for you. But that is almost an impossibility. So you're either setting yourself up for disappointment, or you just do it yourself.
Let's see. 313 said, Jennifer is in the right. She works full-time, does the chores, and the chores should be shared and cut in half if they both work full-time. If she was just a stay-at-home mom, Joe would win the case, but I'm sorry, she is just, should be held more accountable.
A lot of people, by the way, are just concerned about why the jerseys are even going in the wash at all. Those are straight-up dry cleaner material.
909, dry clean only.
Yeah, if you got the decent jersey, and I don't know if they're the decent ones or the, you know, with the, it sounds like they're the ones with the ironed on letter, your numbers, letters, etc. That's dry cleaner stuff.
And it's interesting because people feel that they are either married to a Joe or a Jen. 323. Why do lazy dudes want you to feel so bad for them? I am married to a Joe, and for that reason, I vote Jennifer. But 714 said, I vote Joe. I am married to a Jen. Just accept responsibility when it's on you.
All right, guys. You've heard a lot of people that have never met you before judging your relationship. How does that feel, Joe and Jen?
Whoa. I work full-time, too, okay?
All right. Right. We all got jobs. So you got to, all the things that you both do are kind of cancel each other out. You don't get to use those as arguments because if you're full-time and she's full-time, those cancel each other out. You got two kids, she's got two kids, cancel each other out.
Right.
So now it just comes down to who's better at what job. And in my house particularly, I know there are certain jobs I'm terrible at, and I don't do them well.
What's a job you're terrible at?
Most of them, but look, laundry specifically, I'm real bad at. I don't have the effort to separate anything. It just all goes in, kid stuff, adult stuff, put it all in, sometimes wash it twice, sometimes dry it twice.
Your wife is very particular about the way things are washed because she's in the fashion
industry. She doesn't want me to touch her clothes. Look at them, touch them, don't take them off her. She doesn't want me any part of it. So, all right, we got the votes. More than, well over 100, probably closer to 1,000, but we have to go ahead and announce the winner in this petty claims court. Any other final thoughts you wanted to say before? I mean, there's people all over the phone that want to get in their opinions on this as well.
323, I started on Joe's side, but he seems like he's being a child, so I picked Jennifer for the win. She sounds like she's 1 foot out the door anyway. Hey. 909 said, I can smell Joe's weakness, therefore I vote for Jennifer, and I also don't respect people who own and wear multiple jerseys.
Bucky, you're on K-Rock. Final thoughts before we announce the ruling.
Well, it's Bucky and we were just thinking that she seems absolutely miserable. I don't really understand why they're still together in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Is that a vote or is just an opinion?
Yeah, we're going to vote for Joe.
Okay, the vote is for Joe. Fair enough.
Jennifer, do you have a reaction to the people who think that you sound miserable?
Well, I mean, I'm on my way to work.
Yeah,
so that's
I get it.
Why?
Yep, I get it. All right, let's get to it.
But no, we love each other.
Oh boy.
Make sure you include that in the vow renewal if you ever do one.
That's beautiful.
Oh, I should also say that we did get into a little bit of an argument last night, so.
Oh, what was that about?
I think I was a little bit tired and I got a little cranky and was a little rude.
Okay.
Oh, just short with your words.
Yeah.
So you're coming off of an argument last night right into a petty claims court this morning on K-Rock?
Yes, yeah. Probably was not a good idea, but...
Perfect storm. All right. Well, listen, there's been quite a few couples that this has made stronger and quite a few others that have never spoken to each other again.
Yeah.
All right, Allie, you've added the votes up. Who's going to win this battle?
I have, and I don't want to just say everyone thinks 818's opinion is valid. Joe is a lazy bastard. 562 also said every Jennifer I've ever dated has been a psycho, but if I add up the votes, Jennifer, you get the win in this edition of Petty Claims Court.
What?
The defendant wins Petty Claims Court. Jennifer, the ruling is as follows now. You need to either do it the way you like it done or stand over Joe with a whistle like a lifeguard and make sure that he does every step the right way so that eventually he can take over this task. Although I don't think certain guys are just not cut out to put the same loving care into whatever the job is that a woman would do. And I think that Joe strikes me as the kind of guy that's going to do it to get it done, not do it to get it right?
Yeah, but 310 thinks that Joe has been beaten down and brainwashed, and they're like, how old are these children? I think we should free Joe.
Free Joe. I think both of you need to have one night out a week by yourselves, and hopefully this solves the problem. And congratulations, Jennifer. You're the victor in this petty claims court.
Ooh.
I knew it.
I know, of course. I knew it. Yep. Hey, Rock, we are Klein Alley's show. Announced earlier this morning, we are looking for you to join us for the 10-Second Freak Show tomorrow in the K-Rock Studios on Halloween. Anything that you can do to freak us out or show your inner freak in 10 seconds or less could be a talent, could be something physical, could be a costume. I don't know what it is. You could win yourself tickets to When We Were Young in Vegas, the just-announced brand-new lineup, including Panic at the Disco, Blink-182, Weezer, Avril, The Offspring, and so many others. And we will send you to LCD Sound System tomorrow night for a Halloween show. So if you want to get in on this, slide in the DMs. You can call us, 800-520-1067, or send us a text, and we will work in a few of you to join us in studio tomorrow for the 10-second Halloween Freak Show. Right now, though, let's figure out what's going on in the world. It's time for a look at your ADD news, and here she is to break it all down. Allison Poogers Johnson.
Grab your Adderall. It's time for ADD News. I'm actually reading this handcuffed to a radiator. Help me.
That is the name on my birth certificate, Klein.
I know.
All right, the Dodgers may have lost last night, but the moment that everyone has been talking about are the fan ejections that took place early in the game. The Yankee fans that were immediately escorted out of the park after Mookie Betts made an impressive catch, but they thought, hey, why not just rip it out of his hands, throw it back on the field, and maybe the umpires won't see it and they'll say it wasn't a catch. This is what happened in real time.
Right by Torres. Betts in the corner. Does he have room? Fights with the fan. And they're going to say that it's an out and fan interference. And yeah, Betts has that ball in his glove, and this fan literally tries to take his glove off. Pries the ball out of there. A for effort.
Well, he won't be watching the game much longer.
Wow, he might. No, just from a TV. He's going to be watching us on the TV.
And you can kind of see the guy was smiling after he did it. It was just kind of like, yeah, I'm going to get one to you.
Yeah, and got tossed.
And then I guess he's already happily doing interviews. He's got a couple of them coming up today. He's going to tell his side of the story, which I don't know what the hell. Like, what's your side of the story? It's all on tape.
He was trying to make it a home run. It wasn't. It was an out, and that's the end of that.
No, but I think it would have been foul anyway.
Oh, right. But regardless, it's anytime you try to, I mean, you're not allowed to, you cannot interfere. And you can definitely not grab and, I mean, he could have bent and broken his hand, I mean, in some ways. I mean, he was twisting it around.
Yeah, he took his glove and pried it open with his arms and also had trouble. And he was a pretty big guy. But when I think about fan interference, I think of that spur of the moment, like, hey, you're about to catch a home run ball and then you reach your glove over and it would have been an out, but you screwed it up. But it was just, you weren't thinking because you were going, I got to catch this thing. This was like a calculated effort to change the outcome of the game and rip a ball out of a player's hand, which just seems so, it just seems so intentional.
Yeah. And I think that, look, this guy's going to enjoy his 15 minutes of fame, but I don't know if he'll be allowed back into, I wonder how long that ban is for once you get ejected. I was thrown out of Yankee Stadium one time.
You were?
And I wasn't allowed to go back in there for, I think it was the rest of the season.
What happened?
It was a crazy story, and it wasn't even my fault, but
well, that's what usually people say when it's their fault.
I had really, really good seats randomly one time, and when I got to my seats, there were these two women sitting in the seats, and so they had to like escort them out. They said, these aren't your seats, and they got moved back kind of behind the barrier. I didn't realize this, but one of those two women apparently had been an official stalker of, at the time it was Derek Jeter.
Cool.
She was officially a stalker of his and was apparently not allowed within 500 yards of him. Whoa. Because she had stalked him. And her plan was that she was going to run out on the field like she had done, I think, before, and try to hug him.
Whoa.
I didn't know any of this was happening. All I knew is that
I was in her seat, and it was up to me now.
Right. I had to go hump him. It was my seat. I was in my seat, and she spent the entire game angry that she now lost her opportunity to jump over the dugout and run onto the field and hug him. And at one point, I think she got so mad, looked at me like I was the person standing between her and her love, that she dumped an entire beer on my head. And then when I turned around to figure out what happened, she basically punched me.
What?
And I had no idea what I had done. So
were you with anybody?
Yeah, I was with actually, it's funny. I was with my ex-girlfriend at the time, and she went out to get us food. And then when she came back, I was nowhere to be found because she punched me. And then next thing I knew, security came and pulled both of us out of there. And I said, I don't know what even happened.
Oh, my God.
And then they explained to me after the fact. They're like, yeah, she's a stalker. She was going to run on the field. She had all these love notes on her that she was going to hand to him and all this stuff. And I'm like, but why? How did I get involved in this? And they were chanting. I remember as I was getting pulled out of the stadium, the crowd was chanting, let him stay. Let him stay.
Really?
Yeah, because they kind of saw what had happened. It was crazy.
Are you sure they weren't saying that dude's gay? That dude's gay?
Maybe that's what they were saying. That's what
I started that chant. Okay.
And they pulled me out, and then it was a whole thing. And I think they said because I was an altercator, they had to go over all the footage and this and that. But they said,
they still said you can't come back.
Yeah, they said until we reach out. They
really homophobic, that stadium.
I finally got cleared. I finally got cleared.
That dude's gay. That dude's gay.
I got cleared of all charges somehow. But I'm telling you, I got tossed at Yankee Stadium. Real story.
That's crazy.
You got tossed because you wouldn't toss.
That's right. That's right. Could have been you and me, Jeter. Could have been us. Could have been us.
All right. The good thing about being famous is that you can even make money when you are dead. And people always like to focus on the highest paid celebrities in the living world. But this is a list of the highest celebrity earners in the afterlife.
Oh, go ahead. Elvis is always on there,
yeah,
right?
Elvis is on there. Whitney Houston is on there. Dr. Seuss. That's a big one, I guess, still. Prince, Bob Marley, Arnold Palmer.
Oh, yeah, the drink alone.
Charles Schulz, because everyone still loves the old, I moved the football and Charlie Brown fell down.
Sure.
That lives on forever. Matthew Perry was also on the list this year, but the number one highest paid dead celebrity still, and I think will always be...
Richard Simmons.
Michael Jackson.
Oh, Michael Jackson.
Who still pulls in $6 million weekly from his hologram shows. And the other number two on the list is Freddie Mercury, because he just made $240 million because Queen just sold their music catalog.
Is there a special... There's got to be a specialist or an agency that just specializes in dead celebrities, right?
Yeah, I mean,
that'd be great, because you never have to deal with your clients. They're never going to call and bitch about stuff.
But then you have the estate and the people and the family fighting over stuff.
But you're just telling them, look, you guys want something or nothing. And they're like, this is great.
They're
this
like, get another hologram up.
Right, more grand. All right, we get into a brand new hour of the show, and we do it right now.